Good morning.
Happy Wednesday. Come on in. Come on in. Welcome to Wednesdays with MJ. Very excited. Y'all know Wednesday's my favorite day of the week because I get to hang out with y'all, and here I am. But in June, remember, I'm not going to be hanging out with y'all. Isn't that crazy? Coach Christy will. She is going to, because we're doing Healthify. And so I'm so excited for y'all to see Healthify. So it will be coming out at the end of this month shortly. I think Corinne's already recorded the videos. Everything is getting ready for y'all, and I'm super excited about it. So that is going to be the plan. Good morning, MJ from sunny Florida. My daughter did finally accept a position at a dental school in Fort Lauderdale, at Nova. And so we will be spending time at, we're renting an apartment right now in Florida. So I was like, I don't get to live in Florida. I just get to pay the bill. I get to pay the bill. Oh my God. Audrey just had knee surgery 5 days ago. Oh, good. She's still alive. Girl, those knee surgeries ain't no joke now. That is no joke. So, that is really all the announcements. Oh, what was Jan's question? Great question, Jan. I don't know what it was. I don't know what the question was. Oh, the conversation went very well with the boyfriend. Yes. So he took us to coffee on Saturday, my daughter's boyfriend, so in California, and he asked to meet with us on this past weekend at a wedding that we attended. And he had some very nice things to say about our daughter, which is always lovely to hear. And we have some rules ourselves. And so he asked for clarification for some the Sharifi rules that we have for dating our daughters and marrying our daughters and sort of what we expect from him. And we got to, hash all that out. I got to talk to him about some things I would like to see him improve on and her too. And so it was a great conversation. So I think they're going to, as my husband says, they're going to engage probably the end of July. No, my daughter's boyfriend had a conversation with us this weekend about wanting to engage with her, as my husband would say. So it was very good. So, no, he has not gotten the ring yet. I've seen a picture. They've already shopped for rings, but it's I think it's like an emerald cut. I don't know. I don't know. It's a lovely ring. It's gonna be lovely. So, I think I'm gonna try to go to the engagement. He wants us to come to the party, to go to California to the party. So I'm excited. All right. Yeah, it's gonna be fun. It's you know what? It's an exciting time. One more off the payroll is always a good thing. So, all right. So, announcements. Healthify is coming out in June. Lovely, lovely, lovely. And it is going to be amazing. It's really gonna change the game inside of No BS, I think. And so Christy will be here every Wednesday with y'all in June. I will be back in July. I know I'm gonna miss y'all on Wednesdays too. But it's good. I gotta move my daughter to Florida, so I'm gonna be gone some. So it actually ended up working out great, you know. So you know what? Everything always works out like it's supposed to. And y'all are gonna learn a lot from Christy next month. So super excited about that. Lots of stuff coming up inside of No BS. I cannot tell you yet, but just know a lot's about to happen in No BS between now and the end of the year. I don't even know that you're going to recognize the membership. It's going to be awesome inside and out. I mean, I'm just telling you, it's going to be amazing. All right. So this week, can you talk about a bit about Kathy's tapping class? Yeah. So she tapped. It's on the website. She's done two tapping so far. I think it went really well. They're on the website now, so you can go check that. I know I am teasing. Not tap dancing. Yes, Audrey, not to be confused with tap dancing. Because Kathy doesn't tap dance. There are, I don't know if anybody is still on the fence about going to camp in Dallas in September, go check it out on the website. I think there's like 75 spots left. You might want to go grab those right quick before they are G-O-N-E gone. Also, private coaching. If you've been thinking about private coaching, I think we got 3 or 4 spots left. So just think about that. That's something you want to do. Yeah, come on to Dallas. Yes. All right. So this week, we're doing finish what we start this week. And I really wanted to talk to y'all for just a minute about these three golden moments, because I think a lot of times there's three golden moments of weight loss. There are times in like when we're eating that we can stop. One is before we even eat. So that would be look like me going in, just procrastinating and looking and wanting something and then being like, girl, you don't want nothing. Get back in your office. You just don't want to work right now. Get back in your office. That's me. That's stopping it before the eat. Now, it's not always easy. You pull out some whys out of your back pocket. And I always used to tell my private clients, it turns a suck from 10 to 6, right? Just turns a suck down just a little bit. But you might feel like you're missing out. It may not feel amazing, but in that moment, you are choosing what feels harder to you for a long-term gain. And I feel like in the three golden moments of weight loss, that's the only one we ever really give ourselves credit for. It sucks in the moment, but about 30 minutes later, 45 minutes later, you pride just comes up against you. It's like, girl, look at you. You didn't eat. Now you got your thing done, whatever it is, and it feels amazing. And you let yourself feel the pride from it. You let yourself feel the accomplishment from it. But the other two golden moments of weight loss, I think, are even better. They're even better because another one is you stop in the middle. So you got your hand in the Cheez-Its, maybe you're four or five bites in, four or five handfuls in, you reach back in there and you're like, what in the world am I doing? I do not want to do this. I am not hungry. I'm just bored. I'm just tired. I'm just overwhelmed. I'm just whatever it is. Insert pain point here. And insert emotional reason to eat right here. You have that moment to decide, well, I already started. May as well keep going, which is what we all would have done in the past, right? Like we've all done that. Or you can just stop and be like, you know what? I can stop anytime I want to. I'm just going to go ahead and stop. Those are your choices. You're at a crossroads. So if you stop, a lot of times though, you're like, yeah, but I still overate. Probably still not going to lose weight because that's just ridiculous. I cannot believe I even got started. I know better than that. Why can't I ever figure this out? We give ourselves the beat down, even though stopping in the moment is probably something we've never done in the past. We don't give ourselves credit for it. We've got to give ourselves credit for it. That is a huge win. To put it down, I don't care if there's one bite left. I don't care if there's a half a bite left. I do not care if you've eaten a whole sleeve of Oreos except for one. When you stop in the moment, that is no BS woman stuff right there. That is you saying, I know I'm not hungry. I'm going to take care of my need in another way. And then finally, my favorite golden moment. This is the one that really does change things after an overeat. So you've eaten the whole sleeve of Oreos. And then you're like, girl, you were just bored. I can't believe you did that. Now, this is when a lot of us in the past, all of us probably, I would say all of us, I'd probably bet money it's all of us. Well, I mean, I'm never going to get this. It's ridiculous. Why do I keep doing this to myself? I'm never going to figure this out. This is terrible. I mean, I might as well keep going because shoot, I done blown the whole day. What difference does it make? I think this one's the most important one because this is when you quit. This is when the beat down, the verbal mental beat down that you give yourself is so bad that you want to quit and give up on yourself to get away from it. When all that has happened is you did what you always did. You did what you've always done. And instead of saying, okay, what can I learn from this? You use it as evidence that you're never going to figure it out. That is the most important golden moment of weight loss, I feel like. I feel like that one is the one where you change. I feel like that is the one where you get the opportunity to change the conversation that you have with yourself. That is the one that is going to be the game changer. That is the one that when you do that, that's the one that you're like, you know what? I'm going back to what I've always done. I need to reach out for help. That's when you email me. That's when you go to ask coaches. That's when you finally say, I cannot do this by myself. This is when you finally go, you make the switch from I'm a failure. Every time you make one little mistake, too, I'm a figure outer. Same person, same overeat, but we have got to strengthen the skill of quitting on ourselves, of not quitting on ourselves. We've got to get out of that. That's the biggest skill in weight loss. Because when it got hard in the past, we quit, only to be miserable, then turn back around and have to start back over with extra pounds. We've got to strengthen our I'm not quitting on me muscle. That's what we've got to do. That is where weight loss lives. That is where our dreams live. If we keep doing what we always did, screw up, beat ourselves up, and quit, we're never getting off the roller coaster, y'all. We're just sitting there on the merry-go-round, going round and round and round and around. We've got to get off of it. We've got to change the narrative. We've got to change the conversation. We got to reach out for help if we haven't. We have got to, our thing, the reason we quit is because then the words stop. We get relief in the moment. But in the back of your mind, weight loss is still your goal. You're still Googling for the quickest way to lose weight with all of your emotional baggage coming, trying to fix emotional eating with calorie counting, point counting, macro count. It ain't never gonna work. Because being able to do math, having a solid plan, that was never the reason any of us, that's never the reason I got to be 265 pounds. The reason I was 265 pounds is because I ate over emotion. I ate to soothe myself. I ate to procrastinate. I ate to celebrate. I ate for all of it. And we cannot pin ourselves in to a calorie deficit or a plan of stuff that we don't even like to do. That emotional eating is still there. If we don't solve the root cause problem, all we are going to do is keep doing what we've always done, which is literally feels like beating your head against the wall. It's so frustrating. It is so frustrating. If following a rigid plan of calories and points and whatnot got us weight loss, y'all, we would have been there years, decades ago, honey. Decades ago. Decades ago. We can't do that. We got to figure out this emotional eating piece. We've got to take these golden moments of weight loss and learn from them instead of using them as a way to beat ourselves up. The road to weight loss and working on emotional eating is paved with thousands of mistakes. It's the only way through it. It's the only way we're going to get better at it. The only way we're going to learn how to handle our emotion with something other than food is to work through these golden moments of weight loss. Learn from them every time. That's the only way. Yeah. And here, Dorena, like, here's the thing. Like, I'm protein forward. She's like, I'm so, but I got osteoporosis. I love my reasons, right? But I did have a cookie last night with some Cool Whip on the top of it. Like, I mean, I'm eating what I want to eat. I'm not counting nothing. I'm not looking at, I'm not. And I still emotionally overeat. I still do it. But the difference is now I don't beat myself up for it. The difference is now I'm like, you know what? What did I really need? Instead, now is compassion. What did I need? What do I need to take care of me right now? It's not the food. What do I need right now? That's the questions we've got to start asking ourselves. We've got to. All right. Oh, Sharifi rules. Oh, Carolyn said, "Well, Sharifi rules. If you live with someone before you get married, we won't pay for a wedding. That's the you can live with them. And as a matter of fact, I would like for you to, because then that's gonna save me money. That's the Sharifi wedding rules. So they have decided not to live with one another. So because they want us, they want our money. Yes, they want our money, and they want us to pay for their wedding. So that's the Sharifi rule. Now they're like." My daughter presented it to us like a year ago, and I'm like, please do. It would save us so much money. So she went back and talked to him, and they were like, we'd rather our parents pay for my mom pay for our wedding. So that's what we're doing. That's the Sharifi rules. That's the one, that's the big Sharifi rule. It's been there for the whole time. Been there for the whole time. So Teresa says, having a hard time when someone brings in something I was not planning. For example, my daughter brought in my velvet rope steak, which is not on my plan and would not heat up well, to save until later. I have a friend though. I say, I'm full. I don't want anything. She keeps saying, eat. It's healthy, which it is. Other times where I just wasn't thinking about a food and my husband will get it. And it's something I really enjoy and I'm hungry, but it's not on my plan or particularly healthy. I'm diabetic. Suggestions for holding up my line boundaries when stuff like this comes up. Now, first of all, for your velvet rope steak, Teresa, you need to ask yourself, if you're really hungry, is it worth going off plan for? Like, I used to ask myself this question all the time, Teresa. Is this worth the time it will take me to lose the weight? If I knew that that steak was going to add 3 weeks to my weight loss journey, let's just say, probably won't, but because it's steak, but let's say it's going to add 3 weeks to my weight loss journey. I'm going to be losing weight for 3 more weeks. It's going to take me that much longer to get to goal weight. Would I eat it? That was always my question. That was like before we started talking about velvet rope. Basically, that was my velvet rope. Like before we, started talking about velvet rope in the membership, that was my question to myself. So if someone brought me in a cake, and I've said this before too, I've got a cousin who makes homemade cheesecakes. And if he knocked on my door right now and he came to my door with a piece of cheesecake, I would forego my lunch and I would eat it for lunch. It's worth it. Every day, twice on Sunday. I do it every time. Doesn't happen often, rare. But we are not overweight because of the rare occasion that we ate a red velvet food, a red velvet rope food when we were hungry and stopped at enough. None of us, I'm not 200. I was never 265 pounds because I did that. Never. I never was. So, I mean, there's that one. Then if somebody is saying, eat it, it's healthy, and they continue to ask, it is your job to continue to say no. They're just being kind. They're just being nice. They probably have thoughts of, if she doesn't eat, I probably shouldn't eat. Maybe they're thinking that. We don't know what she's thinking. But it can just be, I so appreciate that. I am just not hungry. It is healthy, but even if it's healthy, I'm not hungry. You can say it as many times as it takes. But the problem is, you probably think she's going to think I don't appreciate it. She's going to get mad if I don't do it, whatever. We don't know what she's going to do, but she's just being kind. And then the other thing too is about your husband bringing in food. I used to always say, if I forgot to write something down, it must not have been in the cards for me to have it today. I'll have it tomorrow. I used to always tell myself that. I worked in a nursing home. I would walk in the door and there would be chicken minis from Chick-fil-A. There would be, I mean, always nothing but cakes all the time, donuts all the time. Sometimes I would wrap it up and take it home if it was wrap-upable, and I would have it the next day. Or I would be like, y'all don't eat my thing. Like, don't eat my nothing but cake. I'm gonna eat that tomorrow. And I would put it up at the office. Like, that's how I would handle it. I don't know. I'm Southern. She said they're not being nice. That is mean. You still say nice things. I don't think it's mean at all. I don't think it's mean. I think that it is lovely. People have always, my grandmama was one of them. Food was her love language. My Aunt Mimi, she was. Food is her love language. And so they want to feed you. That's the way they know how to show love. They know how to show care. And so if you say no to their food, it's like you're saying no to their love. But what I found was that it was okay. It was not a problem. If somebody came into my house right now, I would offer them something. I'd be like, would you like something? No, you sure? I've got da 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 da. I would open up the fridge. I'd be like, look, I just made a chickpea salad for lunch. Have some. It's so good. You should really try it. That's what I would say if my best friend walked in right now. I would offer it 4 or 5 times. Just that's who I am. That's what I mean, I would do the same. I'm Southern. That's how we roll. So I don't know where you're from, Teresa, but I would offer, not meaning any harm. And if finally my best friend Brenda was like, no, I don't want any, I'd be like, okay. And it wouldn't hurt my feelings. But I do want to offer. Let's see. I think it's Matilda. Hello. Last week I started the START program. For the first week, I tracked my sleep, my water, mindless eating, and listening to Corinne 365. I just listened to the second week that's focused on emotional eating. I'm finding it hard to know what to track this week. Concretely, how do I know if I take time to take care of myself? Which habits can I focus on? So you started the START program. For the first week, you tracked your sleep. But I think the second week of START, because I'm doing it with a group of women right now. I can't remember what week two was. Week two is of START. So week one is simple wins that get the scale moving. Oh, take care of yourself and the scale will take care of you. And I don't remember exactly what that was about. But so when you take care of yourself, what you want to do is catch every way that you're taking care of yourself. Because a lot of times when we take care of ourselves, I know I got notes on this somewhere. Hold on a minute. This is week five. I got all my notes from START. Hold on a minute. You know, I got everything. I got everything right here in this. Let's see. Oh, take care of yourself. Let's see. Oh, okay. So what you want to do. What she tells you to track this week is take care of yourself earlier so food doesn't have to do it later. So what you want to do is if you know that every night at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock you are face down in the food, that is not when you want to take care of yourself. You want to take care of yourself all along the way and catch yourself taking care of you. So give yourself credit. For everything that you've done for yourself, whether it is I took my vitamins, celebrate it. I got my water in, celebrate it. Maybe every night this week, you think of like some comfy pajamas, or you wash your sheets so they're warm when you get in them. Or maybe you go out and get a lovely thing of tea so that you are thinking about how to take care of yourself without food in the evening. And then she does talk about the three different types of self-care. In that lesson. And my biggest one is that micro self-care. Nobody really notices. It's that how we talk to ourselves, what we do, those little things that we do for ourselves. Like I always pick up my jewelry every morning. I love to do that. That's me taking care of myself. Nobody knows. I mean, I'm not, nobody's missing out because I did that. Nobody. So, and like I went ahead and I made this chickpea salad for lunch and I did it. It does better if it sits for a couple of hours. So I did it. This already did it. That was me taking care of myself. I did it because it's going to be sitting in the refrigerator for a couple hours. That's self-care. And we so discount those things. Yes, it is manicures and pedicures and massages and hair appointments. And it's all of those things. But it's also putting on your favorite song and listening to it. It's also fixing your chickpea salad a couple of hours ahead of time. It's also wearing comfortable pajamas. Those are the little things that we've got to catch ourselves doing for ourselves because we do them all the time. We just don't catch it. And then we don't give ourselves credit for it. So that's what you want to be doing. Stopping at an elf is self-care. That's exactly right. Getting your water. Yes. Sandy, I swim for myself every day after work. It's my downtime, just me. I love that. Pilates is my self-care. You know, I love me some Pilates. I love Pilates. Yeah, I would write them down. She said, "Do you write those little wins down when you catch it?" I would. You can at first. Like I don't have to do it now. I live in a land now where I take care of myself all the time. I give myself credit for it. I don't have to write it down, but at first I didn't. You got to catch them. Oh, Christy said, I came in late. How did the meeting with your daughter's boyfriend go? Good. I think he's going to ask her to engage at the end of July. Thank you for asking. Tammy says, I saw my daughter's wedding photos yesterday, and I was thinking I was happy at my weight before then. But seeing those pictures make me think I got another 10 pounds to go, and I'm just feeling tired of working towards weight loss. Where do I go from here? Tammy, I'm going to tell you a little bit about pictures. So, pictures is just one little whatever, like snapshot of whatever it is. The other thing is what we see in the mirror and what a camera shows us is opposite. It's backwards. Okay. So we're not symmetrical. None of us are symmetrical. When I look in the mirror, I see myself a certain way with certain things, right? Like I see myself a certain way. When I see myself in a picture, I'm flipped. I'm never going to look the same, which is why we always look weird in pictures to ourselves. To ourselves, we look strange in pictures. So you want to really examine the pictures, right? And look at them. Get used to looking at yourself in pictures if you want to be comfortable in photographs, because they're never going to look like what you see in the mirror. Just aren't, because they're not. They're opposites. They're like flipped or whatnot. The other thing you want to do is when you look at a photo, start by looking at the things. Like I noticed that, like I saw I went to a wedding this weekend. There's like, I saw a picture of me in a dress and I'm like, did it look that bad? Like I was looking hot in the thing, the mirror. And then I was like, did it even fit me? I don't even know what happened. Like, it was awful looking. I was like, and it was a lovely family photo. And then the dress was like, ugh, what is going on here? Same thing. And I haven't even posted the picture because I don't like it. Right? Like I don't like how I look in that dress at all. I didn't. My husband said yesterday, your hair looks good today. It didn't look good at the wedding. You. It should have looked like that at the wedding. I'm like, well, thank you so much. Which doesn't help, right? So I've got to look at that picture. When I went back and looked at the picture, I looked, all of my family was together. That never happens. Like rarely. Now with adult kids, you've got to go back and look at the like just the experience, what was happening in the moment. And remind yourself that is what matters. If you want to lose 10 pounds, the other thing I would ask, oh, look at your picture upside down. Huh. Yeah, I think. Yeah, looking at poses, looking how to pose is good, because sometimes they catch us at an angle. And if we're not, there's a way to turn to the side and look slim and whatnot that you can work on. You can even Google or Chat GPT the best poses for photos. But just know that you're going to be backwards. And it is literally not the greatest to look at photos. Like if you're not used to looking at yourself in pictures, you do look different. You do look different. Oh, Teresa said we're going back to the velvet rope steak. I wasn't hungry for my velvet rope steak, but it wouldn't save. But I mean, the real velvet rope though is weight loss. And it's a steak. Your daughter brought it to you. You know where to get it from. You know where to get it from. And then maybe tell her, like, next time before you bring me food, let me know, because girl, I ain't hungry now. And I'm working on I'm on a fitness. Working on my fitness. So, I mean, you can eat it. Like, nobody's gonna tell you no. It would be an overeat. Is it worth the time it would take you to lose the weight again? And then it is an emotional eat. Like, we're working on emotional eating. So, it's not fair. I should have been, I wish she would have called. I'm never going to get this again. All of those thoughts bring up emotions. So you can decide, like you're at a crossroads. I can emotionally eat right now. I can emotionally eat this steak, or I cannot eat this steak. Either way. Let's see. Chickpea salad. What's in my chickpea salad? Chickpeas. I saw a thing on a TikTok, and Trader Joe's was selling this cumin, parsley, chickpeas, and oil. So they did this thing, and then like you get them, and then you can add feta cheese and tomatoes and onions and really whatever you want to add. So I went and got it, and I loved it, loved it, loved it. But it was very oily. So I was like, I think I can just get regular chickpeas. I put like half the oil that it had in it. So I just made it again, and I put cumin and parsley from my garden. We just picked parsley this morning, so I chopped it up, and then red onions and tomatoes. And we put a little bit of bell peppers in there and cucumbers. And then I drizzled some salt and pepper. And then I drizzled some olive oil over top and put a lemon juice, a lemon. And it is so good with feta cheese on top. So good. Oh, it's good. How do I kick myself in the ass to finally do the stuff I know I need to do? Here's what happens, Barb. A lot of times when you say that, you're wanting to all, you're thinking about all or nothing thinking. And a lot of times when I hear members say, how do I like kick myself to get myself going? It's like, how do I do everything at once? Because I keep hearing it's not good enough if I don't do everything. So here's what happens, Barb. You're like, okay, I'm not doing anything. I am going to, MJ says, do one thing at a time. I'm going to do what MJ says. So today I'm going to wait for hunger and maybe get my water in because you know, water does help wait for hunger. That's what I'm going to do. And then you do that and you start. But when you wait for hunger, yeah, I waited for hunger, but I mean, still not, I didn't get my sleep. Look at this crap I'm eating. Yeah, I'm waiting on hunger, but look at the calories because you got all those calorie counting in your head from the back in the day. Like it's still there. They live back there. The math still lives back there. And then it's like, this is never going to be enough. Do you know how long it's going to take me to lose weight doing this? It's going to take forever. And I used to wait for hunger, get my water, stop it enough. I was killing it. And now I just fell off the wagon and I ain't doing nothing. Sucks. That's the problem. That's the problem. The problem is the way that we speak to ourselves when we finally decide to do something that takes us one scooch closer to our goal. Because right now, what you could be saying is, you know what? I'm getting this water in. I used to get more water in, but you know what? Right now, this is where we are, and I'm taking one step forward. I'm getting one step closer to my goal today. It's all that matters today. I'll let the rest worry about itself tomorrow, but for today, this is a win. I am finally doing something for me. Totally different conversation, but that's what happens. Does that sound familiar, Barb? Tell me. Because I listen, I hear it all the time. We have got to start giving ourselves credit for what we do because we do a lot. And then when we go so far off the path and maybe we gain 5 or 10 pounds, well, you didn't gain 50 back. You only gained 5 or 10. You get right back on it, but it's not good enough. And we're never going to lose weight. And I shouldn't have done this. And it shouldn't have been this way. And all that stuff. We have got to, yes, absolutely. Thank you, Barb. But that's how you stop that. That's there's no butt kicking required. Kindness, compassion is required. And then you go to ask coaches, email me, whatever you need to do. Toot your own horn. Post in the Facebook group. Let everybody know what you're doing. Have a little bit of external accountability. Say, Barb, you can go into Facebook and say, or even on this call, go into chat. Be like, I am not doing crap. And I'm finally wanting to take baby steps, but I keep telling myself it's not good enough. Who's with me? Who wants to celebrate each other's tiny little wins and be my accountability partner for the next 30 days? Who wants to do that? We're not going, you know, we're not talking about having children together. We're talking about just 30 days of I'm willing to come on and say I did this little thing today and dang it, it's going to be good enough. And you do the same for me. You do it and I'll do it. And then we'll celebrate each other. Imagine what you could do in 30 days. Imagine what 30 days of celebrating the little things instead of beating yourself up for doing stuff. Right? You're doing stuff and then you tell yourself it ain't good enough. You beat yourself up for it. It's terrible. We got to stop that. We got to stop that. So there you go. Go into Facebook. Go in this chat right here. This is a great place. Listen, people that are on this call live right now have prioritized no BS for right now, and they're a great place to get support. Alicia would love a little 30-day accountability group. Yes, Karen Brent's Little Wins post is fantastic. You could go in there and post every single day. Yeah. Listen, I love that. This is what the chat should be. Y'all just meeting up, getting together, and exchanging information and whatnot. That's so fun, right? And it can be for a short period of time, right? It doesn't have to be for like, I commit to you for the rest of my life. No, it could be like, who wants to do like a June like celebration challenge with me? Or who wants somebody to send 5 pounds? Like, y'all do that stuff just for 30 days. It's so fun. All right, Barb. Find you some people, Barb. Yep, find you some people. Melissa, now listen, I ain't got but a couple questions left. So y'all need to get some questions added because we still got 20 minutes, 25 almost minutes. I'm still working on my sudden 20-pound weight gain. I've tried several different systems, but no change in my weight. I spoke to my doctor and nutritionist, and they suggested a whole food diet. I know this works great with my body, but I need help reframing my thoughts. I hear my thoughts of, it's not fair. Why me? A little won't hurt anyone. I am wanting to reframe these thoughts. I have tried the following, but need some more ideas that might land better. It's not fair to not fuel my best, to not feel my best. I'm trying some new context. You know, I can't see nothing. Everyone has a battle. That sounds awful. That would not be fun. I don't like any of those thoughts either. I agree. Some foods do hurt me when I eat them. How about this? Let's flip it to the positive. I deserve to feel my best. Yeah, I wouldn't call it a battle either. Like, I am blessed to know what fuels my body and feels amazing to me, and I'm gonna feed myself those foods. Some foods don't feel as good in my body, and right now I don't want to prioritize those. How does that sound, Melissa? And I mean, it's some of your whys, right? Like, if I'm thinking about protein and stuff, like, prioritizing protein, it goes back to all my whys. I want to have strong bones. I want to be able to, take care of my kids, and I want to whatever. I want to live a long life, not be frail, be able to move and be mobile and whatnot. So how do those feel, Melissa? Do they feel good? Oh yeah, Sandy said, is there a course that focuses on mindset? Yes, as a matter of fact, there is. If you're here past 30 days and you go under courses and pathways courses, understanding my thinking is there's breaking diet thinking, self-love and relationships, and all of that focuses on thought work. All of that focuses on thought work on the pathways page. Under there's three courses, and you listen, just because you look at a pathway on the website doesn't mean you have to do all three courses. If you're like, you could do one and then be like, oh, I think this is great, and you don't have to take the rest of them if you don't want to. Okay. Joanne says, hold on a minute, I'm gonna. Let me clean this up a little bit because if I don't, let's see. How can I stop myself when a thought pops in for a cookie or ice cream and I'm not physically hungry, but emotionally hungry? Asking myself what I really need is not stopping me from eating the stuff. I just ignore that voice. You're going to have to just pay attention. You're going to have to put your hand over your heart and say, I know I'm not hungry. What do I need? It's like, think about it, Joanne. If you had a toddler that was pitching a fit, you had a toddler, and that toddler is just pitching a fit, and you're just talking to it, and it is like totally drowned you out. Like it's not paying a bit of attention to you. And I had to do this with my kids several times. You go up and I put my hands on both their shoulders and I'm like, what is going on? You have to do that to yourself. What do I need right now? I'm not hungry. Like you go to the toddler and say, you're not whatever it is. You don't need to go outside right now. It is 20 degrees and pouring rain. What could you do right now instead of going outside? What do you need right now instead of going outside? But sometimes you have to like put hands on them. You're gonna have to put hands on yourself. Because what happens is when we have fed those emotions for this long with food, when we have solved that for so long, your brain is just taking care of you. It is saying, Joanne, listen, you don't worry. You are stressed right now. Girl, I know cookies. Every time you are stressed, you eat cookies. You don't worry about it. I got you. I'm gonna take care of you. I know how to handle the situation. And then you're like, what do I need right now? Insert the new, like, kind of that interruption pattern, like where you go at the crossroads, where you're like, notice, narrate, pause, plus permission, pause and then permission. So you're gonna notice, I want a cookie and I'm not hungry. Narrate, I'm just feeling stressed right now. I'm feeling overwhelmed, whatever it is. And then you just pause and take a couple of deep breaths. And then you're like, okay, I can eat over this stress right now, or I cannot. Nobody's taking the food away from you. Because a lot of times I think that's the other reason that we ignore the voice, because we think that if we do pause plus permission, we pause and then we ask ourselves, what do we really need? That you're never going to get food. But the truth of the matter is, sometimes you'll be so overwhelmed or so anxious or so whatever, you'll choose food. Right? You might just choose food. You might say, like, you know what? I know I'm stressed and I'm going to eat anyway. But you need to give yourself like that pause, like a true pause. And the more you do it, the easier it will get to do it. The easier it will be to do it. Yeah, I do love a toddler analogy, because our brains just pitch a fit just like a toddler does. It really does. All right, more questions? Post them in the Q&A, y'all. Listen, if we ain't got no questions. Understanding my thinking, Teresa. Understanding my thinking. Pathways. Under courses. Pathways, courses. Yeah, you ask a question, Audrey. Come on over here. Oh, yeah, Lizzie's pee analogy. Yeah. The food fuels my whys. It also brought me to the thought of I like having the energy to enjoy my life. Oh, I love that. I will ask myself if I catch myself in time, will this food make me tired? If so, I skip it almost every time. That's such a great thought, Melissa. So good. Food fuels my whys. Don't I love that? That is so good. Good, good, good. Yeah, talking to yourself like a loving parent really is helpful. And I think that's the other thing that we struggle with a lot of times, because a lot of us didn't have loving parents. So we're like, we don't even know what that sounds like. Like we hear we all we ever heard was a harsh voice, and so we still speak to ourselves with a harsh voice. And I think that's where a lot of it, that's why it feels hard sometimes to speak kindly to yourself. But I will tell you, the more you do it, the more you'll become addicted to it. If that makes sense. Like, I don't like talking ugly to myself anymore. It doesn't feel good anymore. Audrey said, post-surgery, do I just do the basics and not worry over planning? We have dinners coming. Yeah, I think that's totally fine. That's totally fine. But you know what? Like, you can also decide, Audrey, like ahead of time. What are you gonna eat first? Like, you might want to prioritize protein from heat for healing purposes. So I'm gonna eat the protein first, and I'm gonna like you can go ahead and decide that. So that could be part of a plan. You can even say, you know what, I've had dessert the last 3 nights. Tonight I don't think I'm gonna have dessert. If they bring dessert and it's lovely, I might have it tomorrow. Like, you can decide stuff like that as well too, Oh, iPhone is in the hospital right now and listening to you all. Well, I hope you're okay. Oh, let's see. had emergency abdominal surgery for bowel obstruction. How do I get back on plan after this hospital excursion? Girl, you just take care of yourself. They're probably going to have you on dietary restrictions, which is fine. But just follow doable hunger, and water is going to be huge for you. I'm assuming. I'm acting like I have any little teeny amount of medical knowledge. Don't listen to me. I am not a doctor. I just watch a lot of Grey's Anatomy. This is coming from Grace Sloan Memorial, straight from them. Probably water is going to be helpful, and just wait for hunger. Just follow doable hunger, and just be kind to yourself. Be kind. You've had a lot go on. It's a lot. You don't know what your question is, Audrey. Gotta ask a question. I feel like Teresa said, Grey's Anatomy. I feel like I could remove somebody's appendix. I really believe it with all my heart. I think I could do it in a pinch. In a pinch. If you needed me, I think I could do it. What are, oh, Del Ronda said, oh, Audrey said she's medicated. Read at your own risk. Love it. What are some of your favorite hacks that have helped you with weight loss, such as go-to foods, thoughts, tips, and mantras? My mantra the whole time I was losing weight was not on my plan, not in my mouth, not on my ass. That was my mantra. People at work even said it all the time. That was a big one. And then I just got curious. I mean, like whenever I was talking about my Mimi that loved to feed people, there's a story about like I was scared and I did stuff anyway, I guess is the best way to say it. So I went to her house and she had just made a pecan pie, and she makes the best pecan pies in the whole wide world. And anyway, she was like, I just got a pie out of the oven. You want a piece of pie? And I was like, oh, I can't hurt Mimi's feelings. And it was just terrible. Like, oh, it was awful. And I'm like, what am I gonna do? I'm trying to lose weight. I don't know what to do. And it's a Mimi, and I don't want to hurt her feelings. Blah, blah, blah. So I was like, Mimi. And I was so scared. I was like, I'm going to break her little pea-picking heart. I was like, I am just not hungry and I want to enjoy it. And I was like, do you think I could take me a piece home? Do you mind? And I said, as a matter of fact, can you pack up a piece for Mike? Because, I love it and I want to enjoy it. And she said, yes, I can. So by the time I got home, she had activated the phone tree, the family phone tree. And she was so excited. They call me Joni. Do you know what? Joni loves my pie so much. She wanted to take it with her. She didn't want to miss out. She wanted to be good and hungry for it. It made her happier that I said no and asked to take it with me, that if I'd have sat there and ate it with her. And it just, that in that moment, like that's such a strong memory for me that it's not as bad as I think it's going to be. Like it's just not as bad. And I think doing that gave me the strength to go to Mexican one time and not have chips because I was like, maybe it won't be as bad as I think it's going to be. Like, I just kept, that was like how I looked at it. Like, I'm scared to do it, but maybe it won't be as bad as I think it's going to be. Like, but that one thing, like saying no to Mimi and asking to bring it home and it all worked out, I was like, okay, maybe it's not as scary. It might not be as scary as I think. The other thing too is I knew what happened if I failed at diets. Like I decided that I knew what that felt like, and it never had killed me before. It wasn't gonna kill me again. That's what gave me the courage to sign up for No BS in the first place. I just decided, like my cousin's husband passed away suddenly, and I went to the funeral home with her to pick out a casket. And he was a little man, so we were in there picking out his casket, and we walked past where the plus size caskets were in the very back. And they were half caskets. They didn't even put the whole casket in there. And I was like, that was really what got me to sign up. One of the things I saw that. And I was like, I'm scared I'm gonna fail, but I'm also scared that my kids are gonna have to come pick me out a half casket. And I'm also scared that I'm gonna go to a dance recital and not be able to fit in a seat. And I'm also scared that I'm gonna sit down at a cookout and the chair's gonna fall out from under me. I was scared of those things too. Like I was really scared of the other stuff. And I was like, why am I scared of failing at weight loss? 'Cause hell, I've done it so much. I've failed so many times and I lived through every time, still here. And I failed I failed and failed. And I was like, if I fail, I can handle that. 'Cause I've failed so many times. And so that was what gave me the courage to get going. But not on my plan, not in my mouth, not on my ass was big for me. That was my first like whatever that I came up with that was like big, that I just really did help remind me. And the other thing I did, and I say this all the time, you know, people are like, I have such a hard, this is the other thing. I think we got to quit lying to ourselves that we forget things. I just forget to drink my water. I just forget to plan. I just forget whatever. I think that's a lie 99% of the time. Because what would happen a couple of times when I first joined OBS and I was learning, trying to learn how to plan, remember how to plan, I would twice, I remember twice specifically, my kids were late for school because I gathered up all my stuff for work and I was trying to get the kids out of the house for school and I had forgotten a plan. And I was like, kids, get in the car. I'll be right there. And I went and I put all my crap down and I got a blank sheet of paper and I just wrote down what I was going to eat. I did not let myself get away with things. The moment I was like, I should be drinking water, I would go get water. Not like I'll go get it in a minute. The minute I would remember it, the minute I remembered that like a thought came across that I needed a plan, I would stop immediately and I would write it down immediately. And I did that. That was like, I did not let myself get away with like, I'll do it later. I'll do it after lunch. I'll do it when I sit down in a little bit. I'll do it when I finish this task. Like, I literally stop, drop, and roll. Like, you know, we used to do back in the, if you were in school in the 80s when we all thought we were going to catch on fire and just at some point, just be walking around and we'd catch on fire and we had to stop, drop, and roll. That's what I did. Like the minute I thought about it, I would stop, drop, and roll. Like that was the, I didn't wait. Yeah, let's see. Yeah, they prepared us. I was ready. I was ready to work my way out of quicksand, not get in a white van, and stop, drop, and roll. I could have done all of those things, which none of that ever happened. But yeah, and the other thing, sticky notes, Susan said, I had sticky notes in my car, I had sticky notes on my back door. I had sticky notes on my refrigerator, and my kids used to make fun of me. And I was like, make fun. Make fun. I had on my refrigerator, is this worth the time it will take you to lose the weight? And I would go in and get something out of the refrigerator. My kids would be like, is it worth it? I'm like, yes, it is. You know, on my wine cooler, I had a sticker that said, is this on your plan? And then if my kids ever saw me with a glass of wine, they were like, is it on your plan? I'm like, yes, Smarty Britches, it is. They taunted and teased me the whole way down the scale, and I did not care. I did not care. I mean, I was literally about to be in diabetes. I was literally about to be on high cholesterol, high blood pressure. I literally felt like I was fighting for my life, and people could laugh at me, and my kids could be late to school, whatever it was. I didn't give a crap. I didn't care. I literally felt like I was in a fight for my. I was. How old was I? Like 45 years old. I was so young. I was so young. And I was sluggish. I couldn't do anything. I was getting unhealthy. And I was like, I've got to do something. Yeah. Karen said she's still ready for Russia to bomb us. Crouch down and cover your head. Yeah. Net said, we can protect ourselves from nuclear attack. Just throw a newspaper over your head. Love that. I know. Did y'all all think quicksand was everywhere? Am I the only one that thought quicksand was literally like right around the corner? Yes. But here you go. Did anybody ever get stuck in quicksand? Has anybody ever seen quicksand? I don't understand that. I joined OBS in 2018. Yeah. Every beach scared me too. Yeah. Alicia's still waiting to get stuck in quicksand. I know. I'm like, at any moment, I'm just going to be walking along in somebody's yard and I'm going to like get swallowed up by quicksand. What happened? Was that, were people really getting stuck in quicksand? I don't know. Spot, that's what I said. Drop, stop, drop, and roll. I knew at some point I was just gonna catch on fire. Like just catch on fire. Oh. That is so funny. I love that so much. Yeah, memories of the past, memories of the past. I was just thinking that I need to change my priority focus. This is Sue. Not thinking about the scale and just focus on creating my new habits to get them established. What is the easiest way to make them ha this happen? Any suggestions? Well, so there's all different kinds of data, Sue. So you've got data of how your pants feel, and you've got data of what size you wear, and you've got data of the scale, and you've got your habit tracker data. All of those things are all data. So, and they all work together to tell you sort of how you're doing, right? Like if your pants are getting smaller, I mean, bigger, or you're getting smaller, your pants are feeling bigger, whatever. They all have like they're all very important. And I always say, weigh your data before you weigh your body before you step on the scale. Weigh your data. Let your see what your data says. What do my habits say? Because that's going to inform what you're about to see when you get on the scale. Oh, Terry's jean jacket could button up today. Data. There you go. Yes, is the anxiety worth it from drinking during the week? Oh, Barb, are you my Barb? Barb? Are you my Barb? Barb, Barb? But oh, good. Well, there you go. I was like, that's my Barb. I am your, you are my Barb. I'm like, are you my Barb? Okay. Yeah, so if you don't want to weigh, make sure you're keeping data in other areas. But the problem is, probably, Sue, the reason you don't want to weigh goes back to what you say to yourself. If you get on the scale and it says something you don't like, you don't want the thoughts, which is why it's such a good reason to weigh your data ahead of time. So if your data says you're doing just amazing, like, girl, you was killing it this week, you was doing good, and you get on the scale and the scale doesn't go down, you've got a couple of choices. That's weird. That's a blip. Wonder what could be going on in my body. Wonder if I got some inflammation. Wonder whatever it is. My data says I did really well. So I think I'm going to just stay the course this week and figure out next week. I'm going to get back on the scale and see what happens. Week two, your data still says you're doing great. Like you're doing amazingly well. And, you know, the scale doesn't move. You could be like, huh, wonder if this is a stall or a plateau. Maybe one more week. I would give it 3 weeks before you get freaked out. After 3 weeks, you're going to send your data to me or the coaches, and you're going to say, hey, here's my data. And the scale hasn't moved in 3 weeks. And make sure you change your battery in your scale, because that is true. Sometimes that happens in the scale, you know, you need to check your battery. But that's when you come to the coaches and you're like, hey, take a look at my data for me. I've been 3 weeks. Here's what my data says. Do you see anything I can level up? Do you see? And then we'll help you with that. But the problem is the reason you don't want to get on the scale is because you are afraid of what you will say to yourself when the number is not what you think it should be. It's the only reason you're avoiding the scale. So we can avoid the scale. But the beauty of, you know, I'm doing start with this group. Well, we just finished this week. We're finishing start this week. But the thing is, what the whole beauty of start is, if you avoid the scale because you're scared of the thoughts, you're also avoiding the possibility of ever working on the thoughts. You never give yourself to look a chance to look under the hood to figure things out. Never. You don't give yourself that opportunity. So you never kind of tap on that emotional, those thoughts that you have to get you to change them, because you never look at them. You just avoid the thing that scares you. So decide if you, and if you want to avoid the scale, like if you don't want to weigh, don't weigh. Like I'm not saying you have to, but don't do it from a place of fear, because you don't want to hear what you have to say to yourself. That's my answer. Do you know, Sue, I'm going to tell you something. Mine is all, that's how I know that my habits aren't great. So I weigh every day. Yesterday, I did overeat yesterday. So what I do usually when I overeat, this is so crazy. I get up and I pee and then I weigh. That's what I do every day. My scale's right back here. I get up and I pee and I weigh. But so this morning I noticed I stopped by the coffee pot and I poured my cup of coffee. And I was trying to drink it really fast, because then I'll be like, oh, well, I already drank my coffee. Now I can't weigh. I did that. And then so this morning I was like, MJ, this is exactly what I said today to myself at 5:30 this morning. I said, you're going to get in there on that scale. I know you overate yesterday. Scale's probably going to be up. That's okay. But you ask every member to do something hard, do things they don't necessarily want to do every day. You can do this. So y'all got me on the scale this morning. Thank y'all. I did. I weighed and I was up a half a pound, which I was like, I'm not surprised, right? Like, I'm not surprised. But I was like, I said, I asked them to do hard stuff all the time. I can do something hard and uncomfortable. This is just my pattern. And I had to have a talk with myself. So y'all got me on the scale this morning. Thank y'all. Appreciate it. I kept my promise to myself. Let's see. Sandy said, I'm having a sigmoid resection next week. I'm scared. Need to get my anxiety under control before and after. What do you recommend other than understanding my thinking? Kathy's tapping. Yes. Go watch those. And Kathy just added some more tapping stuff and videos to the nervous system resource page under resources. Go over there and look at that whole resource page, Sandy. It is amazing. There's so many good tools on there for you, for all of us to use. Sylvia, big progress with drinking, but can't really explain why. All of a sudden, it became a non-issue. How does this work? I don't know. Are there points in this journey where the fog just clears? 100%. Yeah. I mean, it was like, I started out, like I always tell y'all, I ate chocolate, dark chocolate every night. There was just a point where I quit eating it. I can't tell you why. I don't know how it happened. I have no idea. I just quit eating it. I do still from time to time, but not on the everyday. And I don't know how I got out of it. It was not a decision I made. It was not a choice. I didn't like work on my thoughts about it or think I wanted to level it up. I just like, I kept writing it on my plan. And then I noticed I hadn't had it for like 3 weeks. And I'm like, what the heck? And then I'm like, oh, it's fine. I have no idea. But that does happen, Sylvia, 100%. Let me see. Clear up some of these. Stop, drop, and roll. Grab your ankles and kiss your ass goodbye. That's right, Nancy. After training session, I always have a protein shake. Today, I decided to have a protein bar too because I have to get ready to go to the dermatologist. Light bulb moment. Could this be a daily meal to make my planning better? Yeah, it could. 100%. But I would ask myself, do you need both? Like, could you just do the bar without the shake? I mean, it doesn't matter. Whatever. Yeah, just play around with it. But yeah, you can 100% do that. Absolutely. Anonymous says, I'm doing something amazingly well with my food. Even when I have to pivot, I stick to the spirit of the plan. Yes, that's the whole point. I love it. But I'm still drinking way too much. I avoid putting any drinks on my plan because every day I say I'm not drinking tonight, but yet every night I'm drinking a few drinks. How do I change this? I'm so mad at myself every morning for drinking again. Okay, here, Anonymous. And I said this, I used to do the drinking call a lot, and I worked on my relationship with alcohol. And I honestly believe the first thing you've got to do is to be really honest with yourself. Like, especially with the drinking. So when I decided to change my relationship with alcohol, I knew that I was drinking 4 to 6 glasses of wine a night. So a bottle to a bottle and a half of wine every single night. And to say that out loud, to write that down, again, I was afraid of what I was gonna uncover. Like, I was afraid of what I would say to myself. I was afraid of the thoughts I was gonna have about myself. And so you've got to look under the hood, Anonymous, and get real honest with yourself. Okay. And then the other thing is, I look at it and say, I keep telling myself I'm not going to drink, but every night I do. So today, can I just write it down? So the first level up I had was I only would drink one bottle of wine. I would not open the second bottle. So it was 4 glasses a day. And I did that for a while, a good while. And then it was a bottle of wine every 2 days. That's kind of how I started to level mine up. But with anything, I think we got to be real honest with ourselves. And you can email me anonymous if you want to. Click the blue question mark, hit reply to any email we've ever sent you, or you can go to Ask Coaches and work with them about the thoughts you have about your drinking. Because with drinking, there's a lot of shame. Which there shouldn't be, right? Like it is, it's just, it's a habit that you've gotten into, and we can work on it, right? Like we can work on it just like your emotional eating. That drinking is giving you something, it's giving you something like a period at the end of the day, it's giving you a chance to relax, whatever it is, and we can work on that. Kieran said, I've come so far with my self-worth and getting over imposter syndrome, but I have one thing that really is messing my thinking up. My trainer and a couple of other people has referred to me as an advanced athlete. I hear athlete and I want to reply, WTF athlete, advanced. I feel like they're just being kind, but I know it's my own thoughts keeping me from celebrating this achievement. I can acknowledge I bust my ass lifting, but being told I'm an elite status has me spinning a bit. I know I'm focused on what I think an athlete is, yes, and I don't fit the picture. Well, that's not true that you don't fit the picture. Like athletes come in all different shapes and sizes. A sumo wrestler, not that you're a sumo wrestler, Karen. You know what I mean? They're strong AF, but they don't fit the mold of like a lean soccer player. A soccer player, a jockey. Oh my God, them teeny tiny little fellas that rode those horses in the horse races, they ain't big as a minute. And they are strong as hell. Like, there are so many different shapes and sizes of athletes. Like, I always think I love Jill Angie, not your average runner. She's plus size and runs like the freaking wind. And you wouldn't say she was typically, but she's probably an elite athlete, I would assume. So it's like when you somebody say an athlete, there's a one picture coming into your mind. Yes, a shot putter looks different than a weightlifter or a boxer. All can be elite athletes. That's exactly right. So just really look at all the different kinds of because like I think now you're like, oh dang, that is true. Yeah, there's so many different shapes and sizes of athletes. And you can outlift a lot of us in this membership. You can outlift me. Oh, nodding like you can see me. Yeah. You could outlift me. I can't lift like that. I've had the shoulder issue. Paralympics. Thank you, Michelle. I can't believe I didn't say that. And sweet little Special Olympics. I love them. You probably could lift me. And now with my shoulder, I can't do that anymore. All right. Oh, look up the definition of athlete. Interesting. Yeah. I know. I love like you're a runner because you say you're a runner. A runner runs. It does not matter if you run intervals, like, it doesn't matter, right? Like I decide what that looks like. So, all right. This was fun. This was a lot of fun today, y'all. I loved it. I just love y'all. Oh, Tammy said one of my students deadlifted 500 pounds at the Arizona Special Olympics last week. Oh my gosh. All right. I will talk to y'all later. Y'all have a great rest of your day. Oh, you could deadlift me. Yeah, I could not deadlift any of y'all. Like, I'm not, my arms, since I had my shoulder surgeries, are not great. So it's okay though. All right, y'all have a great rest of your day. I just love y'all. Let us know if you need anything at all, and I'll talk to y'all next week. Bye.